Welcome back, everybody, to the Armored God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew joining you here at the St. Colby Studio. And again, Father John Gazzaldo is joining us from St. Luke in Temple. Father, appreciate your time.
I love being here. Thank you for having me.
We get a lot of response out of you telling your story of life in the seminary last week.
Oh, yeah.
And so this week, you talked about you wanted to share another story that of your time pre-seminary, as I understand it.
Oh,
Yeah.
pre-teaching in public school, basically, yes.
Of your time in New York.
Yes, I was a LaSallian volunteer. I don't know if you know what those guys are.
No, so just kind of give us a little bit of the backstory. Well, maybe I think some of our listeners know that you taught school for a few years before you went
A
into the
number of years,
seminary.
yeah.
So just kind of give us a little bit of the backstory.
Yes,
Set
so
up, set the scene for us, as it
set
were.
the scene. So this was 32 years ago, Tom.
Wow.
Yeah, when I went on my, I guess I would call it now, my mission trip after college.
Okay.
That's what I would call it now. Then I would call it, what am I doing? But it has, I guess, a role to play in my vocation story. It is both awesome and what I did there, and I say A and A, awesome and awful and hard and life-changing and brutal, and learn many things I'm glad I know now. There's that song, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. So yeah, so I don't I hope I don't I'm just going to be as open and raw as I can, as God's hand was in all of this, because he puts you through the grinder to bring you out more pure and ready for mission. And so, like, I guess, like, we have some young people around here in their high school years, and some of them go off to NET. You know what that is? I had no idea what that was. So I wish I would have gone on that. Sometimes I
So
wish I'd have known that
for
existed.
our listeners who don't know, the NET is the evangelization mission that we actually have had a couple of kids from Holy Trinity High School who have graduated and gone to work for NET ministry. So anyway, go ahead.
So when I graduated, I went off to college, and I think I shared my vocation story. I started thinking about priesthood pretty much in college. And then, but I also, thought I'd do major in physical education, be a teacher and a coach, kind of enjoyed that. So that's the route I went. But when it came to the last semester of my college career, I had a student teach. And man, it was a baptism by fire. I taught in a public junior high. Goodnight Junior High, which is still there, different building, and it was a public school junior high. I taught grade level PE and grade level American history, and man, whoo, it was not easy. It was not Student teaching was, for the most part, brutal. A lot of kids, especially in, I taught PE, and those are all the kids that are not involved in athletics. Then grade level, just junior high kids are not real people. So it was pretty brutal. So I'll save you that story for another time too. And I plowed through it, counting off the days. By the time I got to the end of my student teaching, I was about to graduate, but I hadn't looked for a job. And you know what, Tom? I didn't even try to look for a teaching job. Didn't even apply. I said, I am out of here. Got a job working for my uncle, putting up displays and Firestones and making good money. Making good money. So I had no, I just think about now, I had no motivation to even apply to be a teacher or coach. Yeah. So that summer I making money, but then, I got to the end of my, and I realized I didn't have a job. And it was in August of 94. And, but I had told a priest friend of mine that I was thinking about priesthood. And I started student teach. I'm substitute teaching, but that wasn't really steady. And so we're talking back and forth. He's, hey, why don't you be like a volunteer teacher? There were these groups, LaSallian Christian Volunteers, and then there was Jesuit Volunteers. And he goes, if you want to teach, you can discern for a year, get a teaching year under your belt, move away, live in New York. teach 6th grade. He was like, oh, it's no big deal. And you know, we have great kids, you have the same class all day. So make a long story short. And he said, you can discern priesthood because you'll be living a religious life. Okay. That's what I was told. So
Dun 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 dun.
I had a girlfriend at the time, and she was awesome. She's married now. And she'd been married for some time. I had a girlfriend at the time, but then just talking to my parents, I was like, oh, you know, I'm not working anywhere. You know, I got to grow up. I got to get a job, even if it's volunteer and I could be a teacher. So I said yes. So in late August, early September 1994, I found myself on a plane to New York City. The Christian Brothers, LaSalle Christian Brothers, met me at the airport. I drove to the there. They picked me up. I went from living in San Marcos, Texas, to East Elmhurst, Queens, New York in
Wow.
1994. It was warm and nice here. There it was gray and just what you think Queens looked like in the 90s. Gray and oh my God, inner city. We lived in a home. I lived with 3 older men. And I'm unpacking, thinking, what did I just do? What did I just do? They were all, I was, you know, 24. They were all in their 40s or 50s. Their religious congregation had no priests. It was totally brothers. So I didn't realize that. So we went up to the school. They showed me my classroom. Next thing you know, I got started teaching, and I was trained as a PE teacher, a coach, and a history teacher. Those are the 3 things I did not teach. I had a self-contained class with all black kids, taught religion, English, social studies, math, science. And I remember telling the principal, I'm not training in these subjects. He goes, oh, that's the least of your problems.
That should have been your first clue right
Yeah,
there.
that's the, and because the other teachers had like, you know, partner teachers, they would switch classes. You know how we used to do that?
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, one teacher taught three, other two, but I did them all. But it was, the kids were pretty good in my class. I mean, they were inner city kids and they had their issues. A couple of them had their issues, but the most part they were pretty good. A couple of them were pretty bad. I guess I got introduced. First thing I would say is like to that Northeast inner city thing in the 90s. David Dinkins was the mayor, and I was young, and I just got it was like being taken back in time, living in the 60s. We the so the school was pretty primitive. You know, we even back then, when I was student teaching, we had, you know, Xerox machines. This had one of those Ditto machines. You were just on your feet the whole time teaching, and it was hard because I missed home and I was locked in for a year. But I got introduced also to a whole different side of the Catholic Church, and it's what I call that Northeastern boomer JFK Catholicism I didn't know existed. I grew up in a very charismatic Catholic family, and then we went to a mostly what I would call Hispanic church. That is an we had fiestas and, you know, and jamaicas and quinceañeras, and but this was a Northeastern, and the church we went to was mostly immigrant, almost all Barbados, mostly black and
Really?
Hispanic. But the school was pretty poor, and the men I lived with were good men. They were Christian brothers. And I had never met really any kind of religious brothers. They were good men. They welcomed me into their home. They taught me how to cook. It was my turn to, I cooked on Thursday nights. We had chores in the house. The principal, he was kind of the one who took care of me the most, you know, tried to coach me and teaching and religious life. The head of the community was there, and he was also a teacher, and then it was a principal. I mean, they had a religious life, but it was still kind of that 70s Catholicism. And that's, and I can only name that kind of boomer Catholicism, where I was, I guess you could say, the conservative in the house. And even though I was 24 years old, they were all into inclusive language, liberation theology.
This was on the heels of the, I'm using air quotes, the revisions of
And they didn't
Vatican
know
II.
they didn't realize they were immersed in it. And I remember the first time I went to mass with them, and they were changing the words.
Oh, man.
The Lord accept sacrifice at our hands for the poor. And they even, I had never heard of a letter carrier. I never heard of, I saw when you see three big huge balls of snow with a face on it, what do you call that? A snowman, right?
Yeah,
No,
snowman.
snow person.
Oh my God.
I did, and they were all immersed in the 90s. We called it, that's when it kind of hit. Everything was about multiculturalism. So that was the hard part. That was not, but you just kind of adapted and went along with it. So I had a girlfriend. I was there in September. By October, she had already dumped me for some other dude. So that was going on. And I don't like the cold, and it was freezing. They told me, John, we haven't taken a snow day in 12, 15 years. We go to school no matter what. Well, we took like 10 snow days that year. That was called the blizzard of the century.
Gosh.
So, but it taught. I never missed a day of school, but I wasn't the greatest teacher. And we just went in there and plowed every day. And even when I got sick, I'd show up, and I had to keep the kids busy all day. And I right now, I would never do that again. I mean, I would never make a teacher, a sixth grade teacher, teach all subject. What was I thinking? But we plowed through it. There's a couple of things I didn't even touch, like grammar. I never touched that. I don't know grammar. I can't spell. We had spelling tests. I never had art, but I knew pretty quickly I was not going to join the LaSalle Christian Brothers. I knew that. But I knew I also had to be humbled, and appreciative of my family in Texas and my Catholic faith. I will tell you, because I if even if they're listening, they took care of me. They were kind to me. Like I said, one of the brothers, Brother Charles, taught me how to cook. Brother Nuzo, he took me to a baseball game. But they were sec they were religious brothers, but they wore regular clothes. We didn't go to mass every day. We had a communion service. One of the brothers said Vespers, but when it came to prayer time, we would pray, but we kind of made it up as we went. But again, I was introduced to a whole other side of the church I didn't know existed. So one of the things that rocked me was they two times, like I told you, that first of all, they were using different words at the mass, which I didn't understand. I didn't. They were changing the words. Everything that was masculine, they would change to gender neutral, which is taking on a, that was. But I remember that there was a cardinal in New York, and I know we called him Your Eminence. And I remember the first time they referred to him as Your Emptiness. I didn't understand that. And then hear them rail, especially the head of the community rail against John Paul II. They even had a name for him. They called him Mr. Potato Head.
Oh my gosh.
Well, part of that comes from there was a billboard that said, Viva la Papa, when the Pope was coming,
Oh
which means
yeah.
Viva the Potato. But sitting at the dinner table, they would say things like, "Have you seen the crap that this guy has written?" And just I said I couldn't. And one of the brothers said, "What do you feel about that?" I said, "I don't know what to think." And one of them, the head of the community, was totally in favor of women's ordination,
Oh, I'm sure.
totally in favor of married priests. I mean, they had no time for priests. They would
That
they wouldn't
alphabet
call
soup mafia.
priest father. They called him by their. We had a priest named Father Kevin. They would only call him Kevin,
The
and I
brothers,
never.
The brothers referred to him by his first name.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't call him father or
Oh my
father. It was just
goodness.
Kevin. And he never pushed back. He called them brothers. But I had never seen that sort of thing. And I get, again, I'm being introduced to this whole other side that was, if you ever read that book, Goodbye, Good Men, that was real. That was happening. And one time I went to confession to God, Father Kevin. And again, the guys that I lived with were great, but it was the theology they lived in, and they were kind to me, and they kind of pat me on the head sometimes, I think. I didn't know what. It's a good thing I didn't know any of my faith. But I remember coming back and I said, well, I went to see Father Kevin. I went to confession. And one of the brothers said, Father, and he goes, John, we can absolve each other. And he raised his hand and absolved me. And
What?
I like bowed my head and I realized now, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
Now,
What were you thinking?
years later, I confronted them on this stuff. They
Okay.
didn't remember some of it. I said, why
Yeah.
did y'all do this? But now hold on tight, brother.
Uh-oh.
Hold on tight. Once we were sitting around some other brothers and the controversy came up because in my classroom, and we didn't go to mass every week. We only went very rarely, and it was always a disaster. The kids were awful. Went to school mass. The kids were a disaster. We took them to classroom mass. It was dis very few of the kids ever went to mass. But with some other, the principal wanted me to have all the kids go to communion. Not only half the kids were Catholic. I said, I don't think we're supposed to do that. And he goes, yeah, that's fine, John. You just go ahead. And one of the other brothers spoke up and said, by what authority do you have to tell him?
Yeah.
And the other brothers laid into him. Oh, it's with a clear Christian conscience that we do that. And then it comes up, if Jesus were here, he'd want to give everybody communion. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Now I think back, I can't believe it. Then I was like, really? That I'm confused. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
But I haven't hit you with the big one
Oh
yet.
my gosh.
Ready?
Hold
I
on,
remember.
before you get there,
Yeah.
I want to ask you a quick question. Was there
Okay.
ever a priest available at the church or the school or anything?
Sure, there was a priest, a pastor, Father Kevin was there. But he wasn't,
He wasn't actively involved.
not with the school so much. And with our little, we had a little community house, but he came over once, because we invited him in the past, an associate for dinner one time. But like I said, they would use their first names. I had never heard that before. And I remember the principal, and I asked him about it many, many years later. He goes, when a priest introduces me by his first name, he's number one in my book. So this is that Northeast, I call it the JFK, Notre Dame, sort of Joan Chittister. People should know what I'm talking about now. Hans Kungian, Jesuital. But I didn't know what I was talking about. But I haven't hit you with the big one yet, Tom, so hold on tight. So in my little knowledge of the Catholic faith, I did know some things. I go, but don't we believe in like transubstantiation? Like the kids don't believe in that. And one of the brothers said, now hold on tight. He goes, that's an outdated word. It's really more, it's more accurate to say transignification. It's a
Trans what?
significant, yeah, that was a thing. It's more accurate to say transignification because it's a significant presence. Now, I have mentioned this to priests and theologians, and they said, yeah, that was a thing back in the early 90s. I said, well, I heard it.
Oh my
I heard,
goodness.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
That's ludicrous.
So we went two times. They took me to hear, and you can, if you have your computer, go ahead. You could probably look this woman up. They said, we're going to go listen to a theological lecture. Oh, okay. I'll go with you. So we went to a lecture, 2-hour-long lectures by Sister Sandra Schneiders. I
Oh,
don't know if you
I've
know who
heard
that
this.
is.
I've heard.
Sister Sandra Schneiders. And we go into this big auditorium at St. John's University. It's a Catholic university, quotations. And she's a feminist theologian
Yeah.
and talking about inclusive language. And but I remember her saying that, the debate is over. Women should be priests. And her whole lecture was about how are women's religious going to handle it when some of their members become priests. And nobody challenged her. And this is one of the times I got up, walked out, and was totally scandalized. I didn't know what to think. I know now I look back and I go, I was traumatized. I was traumatized. I was walking around, and in a basketball gym, you go out and there's those hallways there with
Yeah.
where they sell the, where they sell
The
hot dogs.
concession stand, yeah.
I was walking by those empty things, going total. Now I was traumatized. What did I just get myself into? What am I doing here? So this was 1994, right? So the Catholic schools are about to open, but there's this new thing that just got announced in the whole Catholic world, Tom, that just got just released. It's called the Catechism of the Catholic Church,
Oh, yeah.
was just released. And we went to this big hour, multi-hour long talk thing with the Cardinal. Cardinal Law was there, and listen to all, and it was absolute torture. But I didn't know what that was. I didn't even know what the catechism was. It was new in those days. But they didn't have much good to say about it. But what I also found was there was that's when I realized too that they were always asking me, would you like to be a LaSallian Christian brother? And everything in me was like, what? Not on your life. You people are dying. You haven't had a vocation in 30 years. And they would mock. Here's another one. Ready? I got another story for you. Hold on tight. So a friend called me. I was in New York, and a friend called me and said, hey, there's this really interesting priest in the Bronx. His name is Father Benedict Groeschel. I never heard of him. I never heard of him. And he has this little, they're called the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. They work with the poor. And I said, oh, and maybe you should go visit them. Maybe you should go visit them. I said, oh, okay. I'll ask my roommates, the brothers, about this.
Oh no.
So I remember coming home or walking downstairs, and Brother Charles was in the kitchen. I said, hey, have you heard about this Christian Friars of the Renewal, like this Father Benedict Groeschel guy? What do you think of them? Hold on tight.
Oh no.
You ready? It's a thing that's stuck in my head for centuries now. He goes, they're a bunch of long-haired, scatterbrained reactionaries. I don't even, at the time, I didn't know what a reactionary, I had to later go, what's a reactionary? I had no idea what he was talking about. So welcome to my world.
Was he looking at a mirror when he said that when he used the term reactionaries?
Yeah. Anyway, so I thank God that I didn't know much, because
Yeah.
we would have battled. It would have been bad. It was good for me because I got paid $100 a month. So that was my stipend. And so we
Wow.
had to use religious money, and that was good. And the formation was good, but it was also sad, because although I couldn't say it then, I knew in my heart, in my head, that I was on a sinking ship, that this school was dying. It's gone now. It went out of, it's since
Sure.
closed. Everything about it, why would you send kids here? There was only the principal and Brother Charles. There was only two Christian brothers teaching there at the time. There was some sisters there,
Sure, of
sisters,
course.
uninhabited sisters from the 70s. They were there. You could tell this place was a ticking, not a time bomb, but it was just a sinking ship. There was nothing to get excited about. And the kids, oh my gosh, they were all inner city black kids that came. We didn't charge much. A lot of the kids were single, from single parents. It was a zoo when it came to, there was no real thing for discipline. I could hear the first graders screaming at the, a lot of the kids had emotional problems. We had no real backup for that. So every day was like a zoo. And
What was their reaction to a young man from Central Texas coming up there to teach them school?
well, the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I had a good, I, my class, I had a good relationship with almost all the
Yeah.
kids. There was
Yeah.
one or two kids who had no business being there. One kid had was in a group home, and he was, and then another kid had, these are all fatherless families.
Yeah.
There was one kid whose name was Raymond Brown. If you're out there, Raymond, I'd love to hear from you. He was bad from the word go. I always had to get on. He was bad from the word go. And he was actually harassing the other kids. And I remember one time he ran up to the class. We were on the third floor of my classroom. And we walked in from recess and he was sitting in the windowsill of the classroom, threatening to jump off. And I remember I just made a break for him and pulled him off. Now they sent him away. There was another kid who was pretty bad. He was in a group home and they brought him and he was, yeah. But most of the kids were pretty good. And so I taught sixth grade. Now the seventh and eighth graders were little animals. They were animals. You could hear the screaming up there. The poor eighth grade, seventh and eighth grade teacher were, oh my gosh, bellowing. And I mean, I had sixth grade girls who were already sexually active.
Oh my gosh.
I remember one of the girls, poor thing, she actually brought a condom to class. I could tell you stories about that too. So, but I got my hands dirty. The kids and I, for the most part, got along pretty good. I have some pictures of us went on a field trip. I would wrestle with the boys. And the girls were, you know, sixth grade, the boys are tiny and the girls are growing.
In
And,
our last couple minutes here, so
oh my
did
gosh, there was
you only signed up for a year, or did you just at some point in time
a
decide
school year.
a year was
A
is
school year,
enough?
yeah.
Yeah,
So
okay.
towards the end,
You
I
knew.
met some friends and became friends with some other people in Jesuit volunteers, and the summer came around, but our last day of school was June 23rd. Think
Oh
about
my
that.
gosh.
And we had no air conditioning.
Oh my gosh.
And then June 24th, I was on a plane and I was out of there. And I,
Coming back to Texas.
oh, and I got a job teaching at a junior high and went from teaching 15 preps to 3 a week. I was in heaven. I was in heaven. But I look back now, I mean it was discipline. I learned a lot. I learned about religious life. I learned about those kind of that side of the church. Go ahead.
How is that, just real quick here, as a we run out of time, how's that shaped your kind of your formation?
Yeah. How has this shaped my formation? Well, it's made me grateful for the Catholic faith I was given. It's made me grateful for Texas. I guess you it made me grateful for that. If we're not careful, what our church can turn into. I went to for a couple of times. I went to Manhattan, to St. Paul's Church, which was run by the Paulists in the 90s, and they were wacky. And but I've seen that. I'll say I've seen this. What happens when the church goes left, liberal, woke? It just kills it. It kills vocations. We need men and manly men. And to tell you the truth, their whole congregation, they had a couple. That's why they're dying. So I learned a lot about vocations there. You got me
Fascinating
going.
story there, Father.
Oh, I could.
We really appreciate it. Would you leave us with a blessing, please?
Yes, and all glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the Lord be with you.
And with
And may
your
Almighty
spirit.
God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks a lot,
Lord
Father.
be.
Appreciate your time. Folks,
Thank
if you
you.
missed some or all of today's episode, you can always pick it up on Sunday at 12:30, or it'll be up on our website a few days after that Sunday broadcast at armorofgodradio.com. Thanks again for joining us, and remember to put on the armor of God.